right. Good evening. It's really, really good to be here. We love Pacific Baptist Church. What an honor it is to call Pacific Baptist Church our home and sending church. And really thankful and grateful for each and every one of you here. We love this church. I'm looking forward to being with the college the next 2 days and then going to the couples retreat. Really excited about that. And looking forward to the sharing God's word with you this evening. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to say that and remind you that each and every one of you have a part in those the lives of those new believers in Cambodia. Every soul that's led to the Lord, every life's changed, that's changed by the power of the gospel, that's fruit to your account. And that's your investment. As you prayed and as you held the rope here, and as you thought about us and loved and invested, and which leads me to the title of the message this evening, A Spiritual Life Leads to Fruitfulness. A spiritual life leads to fruitfulness. And we can look at, we're going to read verse 6 to verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 to verse 8. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I want you just to focus in verse 7 for a bit here. And let's read that together. Verse 7. Let's read it together. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started. Our Father in heaven, thank you for everyone that's represented here, every family that's represented here. Thank you for your great salvation and your sanctification. I pray that you would meet with us tonight and help us to understand this great truth from your word. And I pray that your will be done. May we hear from you this evening. May we humble ourselves and with open hearts and open mind receive what you would have for us. And when it's all said and done, may you get the honor and the glory. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A selfish life leads to emptiness. A sinful life leads to emptiness. But a spiritual life leads to fruitfulness. And that's what I desire for each and every believer in here this evening. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, which we will have to give an account of the things done in this body. And I don't want you to go empty-handed. You know, in a couple days, I'm going to have my niece and nephew come visit us from Massachusetts. And probably Monday, I think we're going to take them to Disneyland, right? We're taking them to Disneyland. And, you know, Disneyland is the happiest place on earth. And, you know, when you go to Disneyland, you know, it's the decoration, the rides, just the atmosphere, you know, the smell of the food. And, you know, just everything, it just seems like a great place, the happiest place on earth. But it's a lot more happier if you have money. Yeah. You go there and you don't have any money, it's fun. You're going to enjoy it, but you would just enjoy it a little bit more if you have money to buy the pretzel or the drink. The large giant cup with the condensation on the outside, and it looks so good on a hot day. And that's how heaven's like. Your faith in Christ determines your eternal destiny, but it's your works, your giving, and your investment that that determines your eternal rewards. A spiritual life leads to fruitfulness. You know, yesterday is a memory. Today is almost gone. Tomorrow is not promised. We have one lifetime. We have limited resources, and we have eternal priorities. When we die, we leave behind all that we have, and we take with us all that we are. Ravenhill said, "Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for?" Jim Elliot said, "I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus." When I say the spiritual life, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the sanctified life, the set-apart life, where God desires to sanctify us for special use, to make us holy, and to be more and more like Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the spiritual life. The just shall live by faith. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purely people. The sanctified life. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life now, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." If you have your Bible, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, but leave your place there in 2 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 4, but let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're just going to look at two verses there, verse 17 and verse 18. The spiritual life, sanctified, set apart. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And let's focus on verse 18 here. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself." Think about that phrase there. Let me finish reading before I explain it a little bit. "To himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation." You see, when God saved us, he didn't just save us from hell, from escaping hell, from going to just for us to go to heaven. He saved us unto himself, for us to have a relationship with him. And he's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The spiritual life. Now, what is spiritual fruit? It can be Christian character. It can be the fruit of the Spirit. It can be praise to God on our lips. Or it can be the conversion of a soul. Or making the fruit of making disciples. So that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about spiritual fruit. And a spiritual life leads to fruitfulness. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. If you can go back there. And we're going to just focus on this verse this evening, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7. "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith." See, the Apostle Paul wrote these last words to his son in the faith, Timothy. And in this in this one verse, there's three powerful, profound statements. And it talks about Paul's struggles in preaching the gospel and his victory over those struggles. 2 Timothy chapter 4 talks about the personal walk and testimony of the believer in a day of apostasy. The spiritual life of the believer. And he gives us three statements here, and we're just going to look at these three statements. The first statement is to stay faithful. I'm going to make it real simple, just three statements to think about. Number one, stay faithful. Faith. He said, "I have kept the faith." He guarded his conviction. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the theme is a faithful servant and his faithful Lord. I'm so thankful that God is faithful. God is reliable. God is steadfast. God is unwavering. He is faithful. That's who God is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. To be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. By the grace of God, Paul stayed faithful. If you think about, as you read Paul's writing in the New Testament, it was God's grace that helped Paul. It was by God's, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It was Christ's strength that helped Paul in his weakness. It was power of Christ that rested upon the Apostle Paul. It was by grace that Paul stayed faithful. And by grace, we can stay faithful also. Whatever God's called you to do here, hey, stay faithful. Keep at it. I press toward the mark. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, what you do for the Lord is not in vain. It's exciting to hear all the activities and all the programs. Hey, each and every, anything that you do for the Lord, every action, every word that you speak for the Lord, every life, every day that's lived for the Lord, every hour that's spent for the Lord, it's not in vain. Hey, to stay faithful. When a Christian walks consistently with God in humble service to Him, he or she can be called faithful. We obtain that faith and our faithfulness by the grace of God. Hudson Taylor said, God is not looking for men of great faith. He is looking for common men to trust His great faithfulness. So, the first point is stay faithful. Faith. The second point is keep a good spirit. And what does that talk about? That talks about love. In verse 7 there it says, I have fought a good fight. Hey, it's a good fight. Let us not be weary in what? Well doing. The Christian life is a struggle against evil within ourselves and in the world. And Paul knew that his death was near, and he had no regrets. It was Borden, a missionary that died in Egypt. He was he said, I forgot the first part now. Okay, I know it's no. The second part is no retreat, no regrets. What was the first part? No reserves. I was working that for an hour today, and I forgot it. Okay, I'm going to get up here. No reserves, no regrets. Why? Because it's a good fight. It's worth it. You know, if you're a Christian, and I said this in the college here yesterday, if you're a Christian this evening, you're of all men most blessed. It's amazing to think of how good God is. You know, and I think of the Apostle Paul, you know, when he was thrown in jail in Philippi, he prayed, him and Silas, they prayed, and he sang praises. In 1 Timothy, he said, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who have enabled me, and for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. He said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Rejoice evermore. You know, you can tell someone if someone's spirit-filled or not by this one point. Are they a thankful person? Are they a thankful person? You know, a thankful person is a spirit-filled person is someone who's joyful, thankful, and humble. Think of the spirit of Christ, the spirit of humility, his mind that ought to be in us. Jesus maintained a perfect attitude in every situation. He prayed about everything and worried about nothing. Billy Sunday said, if you have no joy, there's a leak in your Christianity somewhere. Joy is not necessarily the absence of suffering. It's the presence of God. Right. Psalm 16:11. So keep a good spirit. Stay faithful. Keep a good spirit. The last point, finish the race. Finish strong. Everyone can start a race, but not everyone finish. And it's my heart and my desire that each and everyone finish strong. Beginning well is a momentary thing. Finishing well is a lifelong thing. Look at verse 8, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8 there. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, talking about the judgment seat of Christ, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. What is this verse talking about? It's talking about hope. It's talking about finishing the race. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, so run that ye may obtain. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's finish. He says in Acts that I want to finish my course with joy. Let's go to Psalms chapter 92. I remember as a teenager, this is one of the verses, it was a theme of our church. Let's go to Psalms 92, and we're going to look at verse 12 to verse 15. Psalms 92, verse 12 to verse 15. So keep, stay faithful, keep a good spirit, and finish the race. Psalms 92, verse 12 to verse 15. I'm going to read it. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I hope that this is us. When we live the spiritual life, when we keep the faith, when we keep the good spirit, and when we come to the end of our race, wow, may that be said about us. You know, I'm going to share a quick thought here. I don't play the lottery, okay? I never did. You know, say if I were to walk outside tonight and I would trip and fall, hopefully not, and I stumble upon a lotto ticket. Okay, I don't even know how to say it. Lotto ticket, right? Okay. And it happens to win that, you know, and I researched it, that the highest, and like I said, I don't even know the terms for this, okay? The highest winnings ever, okay, was the Powerball, was $1.5 billion. Okay, everybody just woke up right now, Brother Myers, okay? And I happened to win the lottery that night. The ticket was a winning ticket. You know, after knowing that I won, let's say my wife, I don't have a car, but let's say my wife scratched the car, okay? I wouldn't be happy, but I think it's going to be okay, Brother Chim. Let's say, you know, I played basketball and I fractured my arm, okay? You know, I'm not going to be happy, but, you know, when I'm thinking about my earnings and what I'm going to get pretty soon here, I think it's going to be okay. I'm going to make it through that. How much better is heaven? How much better is Jesus? Amen. The judgment seat of Christ. Yes, it's not easy keeping the faith. It's not easy staying faithful. It's not easy keeping a good spirit. It's not easy finishing the race. But let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. You know, these three points, these three statements, is found throughout the New Testament. And it represents three words. Keeping the faith, faith. Keeping good spirit, love. How can you keep a good spirit? Love. Yeah. Covering a multitude of sin. How can you stay faithful? Hope. Three virtues that's found throughout the New Testament. And let me say this about these three virtues, and I'm quoting here. Faith rests in the past. Love works in the present. Hope looks forward to the future. Faith looks back to a crucified Savior. Love looks up to a resurrected, glorified, crowned Savior. And hope looks forward to a coming Savior. How can we, a spiritual life leads to fruitfulness. How can I stay faithful? How can I keep a good spirit? How can I finish the race? Abide with Christ. The answer is found in John chapter 15. It's by abiding with Christ. I'm going to show some pictures here. And I'm going to just share a story of a man that was saved just this past year through our ministry. And his name is Brother Tin. And I remember we started going to his village just a little over a year ago. And I remember just meeting him and his family. And he's right there to the left, thank you. They were so happy that we were coming to their village. And it was so hard to get there, Brother Tu and I. And as I think about his testimony, I remember just a couple months after he got saved, something happened where he got mad. Okay, I know you're looking at me, Brother Haas, nobody would ever get mad at you, amen? You know, usually when they get mad at me, I tell them, get in line, okay? You know, I don't want to drag the story out. You know, it was, I like to give people in our church materials to read, books, booklets. You know, I want them to read. And I passed out some materials at the village, and I didn't have enough. So, you know, I told the lady at the village, hey, just let him borrow the book. And so she let him borrow the book, and when she took the book back, he got mad. He got angry. He didn't want to talk to me anymore. I didn't do anything. And he stopped coming to the Bible studies, and it was just not good. We tried to reach out to him. We tried to go visit him. We tried to talk to him, but he wouldn't tell us anything. He wouldn't say anything. And we prayed and prayed and prayed for him to get right with God. And a few months ago, he got right with God. He apologized, and he started coming to Bible studies. It's amazing because right when he got right with God, can we show the next slide, please? His granddaughter, Seo Ming, started coming with him. She's standing right there because she thinks I was going to get lost. There's only one road in and out of that village, amen? And she thought I was going to get lost and trip and fall there, so she's leading me. She got saved. Okay, can we show the next slide? And that's her mom right there, Sovani. And that's Thin's daughter, and the girl previous is his granddaughter. And his granddaughter starts sharing the gospel with her mom that used to hate us. A lot of people used to hate us. A lot of our believers that you see that saved, they used to hate us, especially Brother Board, amen? And this is a picture after her daughter cried and wept and told her mom that, and because of Finn's testimony, he got right with God and his life changed. The gospel changed his life, and it was evident. And his daughter saw it, and just shortly after that, his daughter got saved. If you can see, she's smiling. Why? Because her husband persecuted her and she couldn't come to church. And that was the first time she can come, and she was so happy. She was sneaking out of the house, amen? And she was coming to church with us. She was so happy. Can we show the next slide? The lady toward the end, the edge of the picture there, her name is Nguyen. Shortly after that, she got saved because Din witnessed to her and shared the gospel with her. And can we show the picture after that? Nguyen just got saved. The middle there is her daughter Nan and her grandkids. And shortly after that, Nan got saved because Din started sharing the gospel with her. And can we keep going to the next picture? Okay, I think this is the last picture. And here, just a couple weeks ago before I came back, they all was in church together. His son right in the middle, Savannah, he got right with God. Amen. But that's what you're talking about. A spiritual life leads to fruitfulness. Hey, when we stay faithful, when we keep a good spirit, when we finish the race, we're going to stand before Jesus with some fruits. And how can we do that? By abiding with Christ. And I'll just read this one quote and I'll be done. The only fruit that will last is the fruit that grows on the cross. This is the fruit that matters, and this is the only fruit that will last. If we can all please stand up and